Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Rhyme Alarm, you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
All right, I'm going to change that intro.
Did you know I was going to say something?
Yeah, I'm going to change it.
It's starting to frustrate me.
I'll tell you what it's going to be. It's definitely going to be, hey, you're in the net live with Geeter and Kevin and Barney or whatever it is. We'll just voice it over.
Yeah.
We'll voice over Karch.
I mean, I'd love to have Karch in there.
Yeah.
But the whole Willie and Barney thing is starting to crack me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the net live. Once again, it's August 9th, 2010. We are glad you have joined us. It is myself, Kevin Barnett, along with Chris Geeter McGee, holding down the home court.
Sorry I missed last week.
I know people thought they'd tune in this week, there'd just be nobody here. That was what I'm sure they had in their minds, because
we went from everybody. Yep.
We lost Reed. Next week, we lost Dan.
Oh, the show
next
had...
Next week, we lost you.
The show had momentum. Everyone was here.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden...
Two interns, a cat, and Millie.
That's right. We had Curious George in the house. We should put on Curious George again, because we still have intern Kevin here.
And my daughter was supposed to come today. Just not feeling it. Did not want to leave the house. Did not want to leave Curious George. So, got a babysitter.
Very nice. Well, it works for us.
We've got a couple big shows coming up. I need to be focused.
I'll tell you what. This is going to be a good show with you and I. We have a lot of great information coming up on this program today. We've got the FIVB in action, the women's national team in action. They started Grand Prix. We have lots of stuff to give away. We have Mikasa to give away. And in light of Phil and Todd dominating the world,
dominant,
being completely unstoppable in the FIVB, we are going to give you an opportunity to win a VLS 300 official FIVB beach volleyball signed by Phil and Todd. Who wouldn't want that?
You'd have to be crazy not to want it.
Yeah, you'd have to go to Poland to get it, or go out to Austria. So you can get it right here on the show.
Can I tell you something really funny real quick?
Please.
My wife, Jessica, won the fantasy AVP volleyball game.
Nice.
For the year. So that, you know.
Oh, because it's over?
Long Beach. No, for some reason, I think the first session went up through Long Beach.
Okay.
She won the overall, right? With all the people playing, whatever it is, 900 people.
Yeah.
She won.
Nice.
She wins a signed Phil and Todd ball and a meet and greet with Phil and Todd. Of all the things she could win.
Right. Right.
She can already go
something
talk to
she
them.
Already
she
has.
Really wanted to, yeah. I mean,
that's great.
I don't know how that conversation go. Hi, Phil. Hi.
Todd will talk to you.
Yeah. You know, Todd will talk to her. He's known her for probably 10 years, so, I mean, he would talk to her. But
just tell her to look up
saying,
a couple
like,
of things about Call of
can
Duty.
Can she win, like, a trip to Vegas or something?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, anyway.
I like 900 people, and she dominates. How do you figure? Inside information from you. Are you making those picks, or
hey,
is it
I
all
played
her?
And I didn't win. I'm not happy about it either.
How many places did you lose to her by?
Well, in my own
in
league, 700s? I think I came in like third or fourth out of 20 or whatever, and she came in first.
Nice.
Overall, I'm not sure where I landed.
That's killing. So, Mikasa stuff, we have that ball for you today. We're going to talk about the AVP, the current situation. We know lots of you are curious as to what's going on. We've had some communications through the week. We'll update you there. And the Hurley U.S. Open of Surfing went on this past weekend.
Yeah.
Reed Pretty spent a lot of time down there. I've talked to him about it.
Brett Simpson won it, a hometown kid in Huntington Beach. Back-to-back titles. This is the first time... Since Mark Occhialupo did it in like 85, 86. So it's a big deal in surfing. And I heard, by the way, it goes off.
Absolutely goes off. They had great waves last year. This year, like 3 foot.
Yeah, this year was a kind of a battle because I guess they sat in that the final heat for like 15 minutes when nothing came through.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but last year it was 10 foot. It was huge.
Did
had
you
a
go?
Great weekend here. No, I did
I
not
haven't
go.
Been
Reed
since
went.
In like the early 90s, but I know Reed goes every year. It's something I think when the kids get a little bit older, it would be cool to take them to.
Yeah. Had we not gone to X Games the week before, I definitely would have gone.
That's right. You went to X Games.
Yeah. Went
cool.
to X Games. Oh.
Staples?
Staples Center.
Yeah.
Friday night. Last Friday. Saw Best Whip, Best Trick.
God, that's right up your alley. You must have been like a
Dude, it was awesome. I knew everybody out there.
Like, you know, people love volley.
There's Josh Grant.
You know, people love volley, and they'll sit in the front row, and they'll be there from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. You were that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. We were 11 rows up, right across the way. It was great. Watching Best Whip was pretty cool. Guys inverting bikes, guys turning bikes completely backwards, sick. And then Best Trick, of course, you had a guy, Paris, I forget his last name, but he tried a front flip and landed flat on his back from like 40 feet. Oh, it was ugly.
That's brutal.
One bad thing is my kids are now talking about doing no-handers and
no,
stuff. I'm like, kids.
Let's not get crazy yet.
No way.
No,
no
never,
way.
Never.
We'll stick to the track, but no X Games type stuff, please. We also have on the show today, we're going to have Holly McPeak check in just after the 11 o'clock.
She's coaching till 11. Hour. I told her run up to her house because she coaches right there, right in front of her house, and she can run up and call us.
Very nice.
She can talk on a lot of different subjects, too. The women's indoor game, which is starting today. She can talk about the women she coaches. She can talk FIVB. I'm sure she can talk AVP.
Yeah.
I'm sure she has some opinions there.
She's got to have a few opinions, given how intertwined she is in that whole situation and the history that she has with the sport.
How's your knee?
Good. Surgery last Monday. Little cartilage repair, have it on tape, got to stay awake as previously discussed, put me down for about 3 minutes, numbed it up, woke me up. I was chattering like a monkey in a tree.
That was a chance that was going to be your last show last week. I mean, you're
yeah,
going under
true.
The knife. I mean, anything
could
happen.
I may not have come back. But it was great because I had like 3 minutes of general anesthesia. Other than that, they were numb my knee. I watched them do it. I was a little goofy, but I watched them do it, kind of neat to see. And then put me in recovery, ate like half a box of graham crackers. My wife picked me up. We came home, had sushi, and a little date night because the kids were out.
Nice.
So we sat and watched a nice movie, watched State of Play with Ben Affleck.
Were you a little buzzed? Kind of like
no, the... it was great.
No, it's great.
I've come out
of anesthesia
before.
Like telling the cat to get off the bed, and the doctor's like, there's no cat.
Yeah, exactly.
Get off, kitty.
The only weird thing that happened is I woke up, and I just started talking and talking. Because I was
just
curious.
Like this show.
Yeah. I was coming off of this show. Man.
You did a hell of a job last week.
Thank you.
I listened.
It was tough. It's a different animal when it's yourself.
It really is. It's just, I don't know. It's a, you know, it's not like we're a sports talk radio show where you're getting a lot of calls or you have five interviews lined up for, you know,
right.
for seven segments.
Right.
You know, you're basically solo with Buckus, who's not going to say a word ever.
He wasn't even here. It was
yeah,
me and the cat.
Hey, Buckus, where were you last week?
He was doing Reed's bidding. He's just recruiting. Reed. He's just Reed's boy. He does whatever Reed tells him.
He's got a couple rings. He's fine. Yeah. Dude, look at him. He's just leaking it over there.
Hey, speaking of the callers, they carried the weight last week. We appreciate
got,
it.
I was impressed, by the way.
They get in there. And you can get in here again this week. 347-677-1525. 347-677-1525. Get in the show at any time. We'll just go to the callers. It doesn't matter. We actually had a prank caller last week. If you listen to the podcast, you didn't hear it.
I did not hear that.
You got the edited down version of it. Buckus is laughing because he was listening.
Do we know who it was?
Yeah, some guy on Skype.
Was he doing dirty things?
Apparently he was, you know, having his way with himself in the bedroom and thought
Whoa,
it was really great
that,
to call this show and say something.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's better than Officer Awesome. Something else. Hey, flag football started again for me this past weekend.
I love your flag football.
You want to come and announce?
I just want to go.
You
check
and
it
I
out.
Can sit in a booth on Friday night.
My broadcast partner, John Jackson, on high school football in LA, he coaches Pop Warner's his son. I've gone to like three games. I went to the flag games, and last year was his first year in Pop Warner. I will definitely come.
All right. We can sit up in the booth and do some play-by-play.
So
they would
excited.
Love it on a Friday night. But it's going to be an interesting year. Got a few new kids. Got a few old kids. Got to replace some people. But I actually...
The expectation is that you guys are going to do better as well.
Yeah,
I mean, you guys improve.
We're going to get two wins.
Yeah, you improve.
Instead of one. Yeah, I'm hoping to get two wins. So, yeah, I got that coming up. And we actually had a nasty injury yesterday. One of the sisters of our players, who actually happens to be on my older son's team, fell off a soccer goal, broke both of her bones in her arm.
Were you there?
Yeah.
Brutal.
We were during practice.
Ooh.
Look over, mom is coming running. And I had met her the day before because my other son had practice.
Sure.
And the girl's on my older son's team. And she says, her arm's broken. She's running over. You know, it's one of those like panic moments as a
Absolutely.
Parent. You're not sure what to do, you're just moving. And I've done that before, and I look over, and here's the girl, Brooke, and her arm literally is just twisted at some weird angle. Because
and just bawling, right?
Not bawling. She's pretty tough.
Hanging it together?
Yeah, like a little bit of a yelp, and then she's just there, almost like a shock kind of a thing. Saw her kind of hyperventilate, a little bit of pass out after that. It had to be real painful, definitely, but that was kind of ugly, unfortunately. But she got fixed up. We held on to her brother all afternoon, Dawson, us and another family, and took him down to the beach and played a little more football there.
I'm so happy football is starting. And I know this is a volleyball
yes.
show, but
True.
So much has been happening in the world of sports, whether it's Tigers completely falling apart and going plus 18, whether it's U.S. Open of Surfing, whether it's Derek Jeter passing Babe Ruth on the all-time hits list. There's a lot going on in sports, but football starting, it just puts a smile on my face, and I know it does for you, too.
Oh, I can't get into baseball. Once the NBA playoffs are over, I pretty much turn SportsCenter off.
Yeah. I like playoff baseball, and I worked the Dodgers yesterday, and I just landed this morning the Angels series this weekend, so I have to kind of be involved in it.
Nice, yeah.
But it is hard to, if you're not working it,
right.
It's really tough to get it going. Unless your team's in the thick of a pennant race and the playoffs are coming up, then I think you can get into it. But it's they weren't kidding when they called it the dog days of summer.
I'll watch the ALCS, the NLCS, and the World Series like that. I will go to games. If I have tickets, I will go to games. I enjoy being at the games. It's a great atmosphere, a great place to hang out. I enjoy the baseball there.
Good for the kids.
Yeah, but to sit and watch it on TV, you know, if I need a nap, it's great. But other than that, it's just not something I'm going to sit down and watch. Whereas football, yeah, I'll sit and watch some football a little bit. Or I'll set my TiVo to tape the Eagles and then go through it an hour and a half.
You know what's interesting? I was sitting around with a couple guys on Friday night just on the street where I live, doing a barbecue, and one of the guys is a financial advisor, has a couple of NBA guys and a couple of pro athletes. And, you know, coming down the pike here within a year or two, we could have an NBA and an NFL lockout. What would this country do?
Turn to volleyball?
I mean, it's right there. I know. I'm like,
it's not going to happen. They're not going to kill
the
golden goose like that.
Maybe volley can slide in somewhere. Can we resurrect ourselves?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think that they'll kill the golden goose, either one of those sports.
What is that picture?
I can't
pool,
believe that
darts,
football's going to do it.
Volleyball?
Yeah.
Was that Wisconsin at a bar?
My uncle traveling through Wisconsin turned around on the road to take a picture of this sign for a bar. It said pool, darts, and volleyball. That was what they had up there. I don't know why we're behind pool and darts. Can't it be volleyball, pool, and darts?
Yeah. Pool, please? Darts. Volleyball.
That's where beach volleyball gets played in much of the country, you know.
When I saw your email and I just saw the subject, it said where we rank in this world, I thought to myself, oh, I was scared of the photo. But then it came down and I had a good laugh. It's just a huge, huge marquee outside of a dive bar in Wisconsin. Just said,
exactly.
Pool, darts, volleyball.
That's what it is for us. I know when we went to the Springs, I think I mentioned this before, Seeley and Sullivan used to hustle people at one of those pool, darts, volleyball.
Absolutely.
Places. I think it might have said pool, darts, shuffleboard, volleyball on that one.
Smart move. Seeley starting his first day at UCLA today. I mean, first official practice.
He hasn't been fired for an NCAA violation.
Not yet. Joy probably has.
Hasn't been
because of us.
Show.
Hopefully Joy's moved past that and she's okay.
It's good. Hey, let's talk about Jane Croson. I mentioned her last week, and I was kind of sad you weren't here to mention it like six or eight times.
Honestly, everybody, I'm serious. I'm like a proud papa here. I mean, Jane Croson, who plays for my club volleyball team, let me just tell you about her last 2 months. She qualifies with Summer Ross at the Santa Barbara AVP Open and takes a 13th place finish at 16 years old. So
they're
the youngest combination to ever get a 13th on the AVP Tour. 3 weeks after that, she wins a gold medal at Junior Olympics for our club, Sport Check Volleyball Club. She gets first team All-American. A week later, she travels to Tijuana for the World Championships with the under-19 indoor team. They win a gold medal. She gets MVP. She then goes to Portugal for the World Championships with Summer Ross, under-19 beach volleyball, and wins a gold medal against Russia in three games, had 13 aces.
13
I mean,
aces. That's
around
sick.
That from what I hear. But, I mean, that's just – you know what? Tim Jensen over at Pepperdine, he's a best friend. Yeah,
he's taking all the credit, isn't
no,
he?
No, he's going to be upset. He's going to be pissed at what I'm going to say. But Jane, quit. It's only downhill from here. Don't come back.
Find yourself another club.
Find yourself another club. You've had a hell of a summer. But I'm just kidding. I mean, I don't know how she's going to top it next year and how am I going to challenge her. But, you know, hey. It's time to repeat.
Hey, you need to be better.
Yeah, we need to be better.
You've raised her level. She's taken it beyond you. You need to respond and raise your level,
man,
as a coach.
I wish I could take credit for this kid. I mean, she's awesome.
Well, that is
So I'm proud.
Unbelievable.
Very proud.
Unbelievable summer.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tim and I were talking about it the other night, and we were just so proud of this kid. And she works really hard, and University of Hawaii, they're going to get a good one. Soji's getting a good one over there. She can play.
Very cool. Very cool. Good for her. We'll look forward to following her, hopefully, to national team or a beach tour.
By the way, Danny on our chat board said, I crushed Jane in a co-ed CBVA event last year. No big deal.
I think you mentioned that before.
Dan's pissed at me because, I mean, I took him down in the Berry Bob like 11-2.
Uh-huh.
And, you know.
That's a whipping.
My six-man team kind of beat your guys' six-man team.
Kind of beat? What are you talking about, kind of beat?
I mean, 11-7, and then you won 14-12, so we win the pool. We won our points.
You're
saying
aggregate?
We also won an extra game. I mean, we really won the pool, which is amazing. You guys were number one seed in the entire tournament.
No, we were number two seed in the entire tournament.
We were the 30th seed.
All right, I want to know how you're the 30th seed. You put out Dave Lee.
By the way, Dave
Matt
Lee is
Anderson.
My new favorite guy
in
the history of this planet. That guy is as good as I've – I mean, in the six-man beach game, too. I mean, he's unbelievable. He stuffs balls. He buries balls. I'm in love with him.
He
Matt
stuffed
Anderson,
eight balls,
great
eight
kid,
kills
man.
In two games.
And I know we've talked about Matt Anderson on the show earlier. You know, that kid's got a future, huh? He's young. He's tall. He can pass. He can move.
Got work to do. He's...
We had Baby Jesus sent with me, Tyler Hildebrand.
Baby Jesus.
Greatest nickname ever.
You had three NBA players. Luke Walton.
Luke Walton started.
Yeah.
With
Richard
Jefferson.
He's okay. He plays like a basketball player,
but I'm just
though.
Saying, he did start, so
he's,
you guys
he's like dunking
you can't
the ball.
Use that as an excuse.
He blocked a couple balls.
He did roof a ball. He roofed a ball
he
big
did have
the
super narrow block, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying
super
to teach
narrow.
Him to spread those hands out.
He's got a little work to do. And then you had
Farmar.
Farmar was on the team, and Richard Jefferson.
And then Josh Shipp,
I heard
who
Jefferson
plays pro in Turkey.
Who is that?
Josh Shipp. Who
Josh
actually,
Shipp.
Yeah. So we would rotate those guys. In your game, Luke played because he's the best of the four.
Yeah.
But they all played. They loved it. We had a good time. I actually thought the six-man was great. It was weird kind of having the beach so dry and no alcohol, really. No one was really even trying to sneak it on. So all the raging happened in the streets and in the houses and in the bars. And
the
so
bars were
they
stoked.
Created a new problem, in case you didn't know. I mean, the city was turned upside down.
Where's it going to go?
I mean, it had just as many people as it's ever had.
Now you have Manhattan Beach residents who are upset
about
the way it was going on the beach. And now guess what? It's going on next door. So instead of being 50, 60 feet away, now it's right in your window. How do you feel about that, Manhattan Beach?
In your window.
Yeah.
So.
That was a fun event. I thought it was still a great scene. It was as well attended as last year. And really, I have to call into question the numbers from the city. Because during this whole thing, the city was putting out there were 60,000 people there. Hey, you know what? I call BS on them. There's no way. There's 25,000 is a reasonable estimate as to what's out there. Maybe 20.
Not half the road full gets filled up? No way?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
God, sometimes, I was,
think about
I was
it in
up
terms
at
of
beaches.
Staples.
I'm up at beaches midday, right?
Yeah.
And you look
which is
out.
A bar right
yeah,
up above
right up, yeah,
Manhattan Beach Boulevard,
that.
Looking down on the pier.
And I'm looking down, and man, it is a lot of people. At the height of it, that 2 o'clock hour, 1 o'clock. I really wish we could have a number.
Well, Fresh Brothers and you were pitted right next to each other there.
Yeah,
you
which
know,
I liked.
Like the racing
reference. Love the of course. I love the pizza that you guys had and
we were right next to each other, but our spot along the pier was pretty nice. Right at the bottom of the stairway, it was all fenced off and we
loved
had that
it.
Buffer behind us.
And did you notice we had a couple security guards there to help us all out? That was nice. Those guys were big and large and I love being next to your team. I like your team a lot. I love a lot of those guys and it was actually fun having you guys in our pool. I actually wish you weren't in our pool. It was bad for both of us because we split, but
it was good that we were next to each other.
It was great having you guys involved. I kind of wish we would have played later in the day, too.
Yeah.
Both teams were a little heated up. It was really early.
Right in the morning. First match. It did draw a big crowd, though. That was good to see a crowd early on. Yeah. But what's getting at is we were in kind of a spot right under the pier where we had a little bit of relief behind us.
No question.
But if you looked down kind of on the western side along the beach, it was jam-packed. And they took away some of the people used to bring in stripper poles and took that out. They got rid of some of the keg stands that were going on in the giant tent. So I don't think any of that's any big deal. I'm sort of two minds about it. It's not as big a party as it was, but it was a good event, I thought.
Good event.
All right,
move on.
Let's go to a caller here. I think we have Alex Kelly and Brandon Rosenthal on the line. Let's see if they can talk. Alex keeps calling me on my mobile phone. But all right, Alex Kelly, Brandon Rosenthal, are you there?
We're here.
We've been here for a while.
I know. Oh. I saw you even before the show started, but we have business. You can't just expect to come in and take over the program.
That's what I love.
If you're
about
an intern and a mid-level coach,
Alex, I love
advertising. I believe I heard anybody call in anytime will go straight to your call.
I can't go to your call even before we're on the air. I'm sorry about that. And then your hand went down. So anyway, what do you have? What I know you're a little upset because I put something out about bringing on some top-level coaches to the show, and you didn't.
My invite's still in the mail. We got RPI up to 36th in the country, Geeter. I mean, we're talking about a program going from 315 to 36th, and somewhere my invite's still in the mail.
Hey, you're always invited when I'm on this show. You know that, Brandon. And by the way, does Alex run that team like she runs this show that we had this summer?
You know what? She's upset at both of you.
Agree with you? She just pop off in the middle of practice?
She's upset at both of you guys, yeah. You're talking about all the people that left the show, you know, Reed, Dan, no mention of intern Alex.
Good point.
Didn't I say, though, we had, I did say we had interns and a cat here earlier. I just didn't mention
it. I'm not just
like she never left. She disappeared. It was like, all right, we had a great party. We gave her some parting gifts. Alex, it's been great having you. And then she came back like the next week.
And then, Brandon, by the way, I saw her at the six of them. I'm like, hey, let's party. She's like, I can't because my season's right around the corner and I'm way too disciplined. So I was proud of her.
That's how I like Peter, right there.
Yeah. You did mention Officer Awesome, so that kind of brought a
yeah,
smile.
How about that guy?
Do you know what the final total was on the ticket?
$410, I'm wondering.
How much?
Say it again.
$410.
That is awesome.
You were doing 63 and a 45?
Yep.
That is pretty hefty, though. 63 and a 45 is hauling, but $421.
Are you guys starting double days today?
Yes, sir. We're going into practice number two, but you know what? We decided, hey, let's push it back because the Net Live is number one priority in my life.
Did you do Midnight Madness this year, Brandon? Brandon has a tradition.
I love that.
Where at midnight, he wakes everybody up. The freshmen don't know. Wakes everybody up, puts them in the gym, practices for an hour and a half, and then goes to Waffle House, has food.
Did you do that this year?
Yeah, but let's hope the freshmen aren't, or the incoming girls aren't listening, because it wouldn't be much of a tradition now.
Wait. It had to happen yesterday, right?
Yeah, you're right. I'm just saying the girls that are coming in next year's class.
Oh, I gotcha.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I like that, though. That's got to be a great little team bonding thing for the first day, and
8 years running.
With the freshmen, are they just baffled and clueless of what's going on?
No doubt.
We're
Alex, what was it like the first time it happened to you?
It was really... can't really put into words how I felt when they were waking me up.
Pissed.
Yeah, ticked off. She was screaming obscenities.
She voiced her opinion as a freshman. I can guarantee that.
I'm not going!
We do have a kind of a cool Nashville sighting. Last night we were out to dinner with the team, first official team dinner, and lo and behold, Dirk Bentley at the restaurant took time out of his dinner out with his family to take a picture with the team. Big up. If Dirk is listening, I know you guys probably don't know who he is, but he's a pretty big country star. Dirk is listening. I appreciate it.
I will marry you.
Who is Dirk Bentley? You're going to have to clarify this.
You guys need to get with the program.
See, right there. That's the fire that everybody likes about Alex. Dirk, is he a country star?
He's got to be a country star, right?
Huge country star. Lives less than a mile from Lipscomb.
I don't know if he's huge. Is he huge?
Pretty huge.
Yeah, you got Wikipedia.
Okay.
Hey, and guess who was the one that went over and asked him for the picture?
It had to be you. We know this.
It was. I was actually a little nervous. I won't lie.
Really?
The guy's that good looking.
Once too, and he actually said he remembered me. He knows that that's a lie, but
he's that good looking.
No, he's really short. He's like 5'6".
You weren't even nervous when you met me. Oh, by the way, we have Buckus who just Wikipedia'd him. Those are all his pictures.
He's a handsome man.
He's got a lot of different looks.
All right, Alex.
All right, we're going to win championships right now.
Dominate the A-Sun.
If you win, you can come on every week.
Get it done.
Thanks, hey. Peter. I appreciate it.
No problem, Brandon. Call us later.
Do better than going undefeated. All right?
All right, we'll do it. Bye. Right,
I like it. They've been waiting literally for 20 minutes in the queue.
They were on hold the whole time?
Even before we started.
That's like, fantastic.
I think it's 615. It's got to be them. I'm glad they called in.
Alex.
$421. You believe that? $421 for a ticket. State of California.
It'd be great if this show made money and we could pay for it, but she's on her own.
Yeah, that's the sum total of our income for the entire year and a half of this program, I think.
She is a young woman, though, that you know is going to be successful.
Definitely.
Great attitude, great personality, smart.
Not afraid to just go up to somebody. Dirk Bentley, some medium-level star.
Who in the hell is Dirk Bentley?
I don't know. It's country music. Who cares? All right, 347-677-1525 if you want to get in the show. We've got more to come. U.S. Open of Surfing, FIVB information, the women's national team in action, and, of course, Holly McPeak coming up. Get your calls in here with Kevin and Gator. Be right back.
Hey parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
Hey, Reed.
Yeah, Dad.
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, Reed Pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever.
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench, sub yourself in, pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
Welcome back in the Net Live here on the VolleyballNetwork.com. Kevin Barnett and Chris Geeter McGee holding down the home court with the help of Butkus, intern Kevin. Thanks for being here, intern Kevin. Thanks for just coming in, holding it down, feeding the cat. I still don't have any water, though. Kind of disappointed. A little thirsty. That was a big issue last week, Geeter. An hour of talk when I was fasting.
Yeah.
Pre-surgery. That was rough.
That's kind of a bummer. Butkus hasn't gotten his waters yet.
Eventually. He knows where everything is now. He's been over here enough.
He's like, dude, I have two rings.
I'm surprised he's not wearing them. He should wear them to the show.
Can you bring your rings next week?
Can you tell us a story of love and hate with your two rings? Come on now. All right, let's talk about some of the programs and stuff. Whatever. Talk about something. Women's national team going on this past week. They opened up Grand Prix play. Yes, sir. I see you raising your hand. They were in Poland.
You finish, and then I want to ask you a question.
All right, the United States started out in Poland, mm-hmm. played against Dominican Republic, which is an important match because Dominican Republic is in the USA zone, and that's always a team you have to get by. Traditionally, for the women, Dominican Republic has been a good challenger, mm-hmm. much like the men in Cuba.
Sure.
The women also faced Cuba in this. So it was good to see them bang down Dominican Republic, 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Good victory to start out. I did send Heather Bowne a little message and said, hey, good job, you know, nice start. And she sent me back, it was a rough start. 3-1 win, but a pretty rough start. And I thought, huh, why is that?
So Heather's a friend of the show.
Yeah, Heather Bowne. Everyone knows her from the intro. And I thought, well, that was a good start. Dominican Republic's a quality team. But then the next two matches, the U.S. goes down to Poland, 1-3, or pardon me, down to Germany, 1-3, and then lost to Poland, 1-3. So I guess it was a rough start because he faced a little bit better teams in Germany and Poland, both of whom are quality squads, not top of the world, but definitely quality squads, and they end up losing. So really a rough start, 1-2, coming out of the first pool that was held in Poland and heading on to Bangkok, Thailand for next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
They're young, correct? We've talked about this.
And they're starting the youngsters.
And they're starting them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we talked about Hodge or Hooker. They're both playing right now. And for those of you out there who think that if you're great in college, you're going to be great in the national team, sorry, not the case.
Yeah.
It takes a while, no matter, even as dominant as those two women were in college, it takes a long time to adjust to the international game.
Physically, though, where are they compared to the rest of the world, like the Brazils and, I mean, Italy, who just upset Brazil, right?
I think it's a strength issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, Italy defeated Brazil. Mm-hmm. I think it's a strength issue. You come to the international game, you have to be strong. It's great to hit over the block. You watch Megan Hodge hit over the block in college all the time. And she's putting the ball here and there. fine. You have to hit the ball hard. If you're going to go over, it's got to be hard. You can't just place the ball. The defenders are too good, and the block takes up too much space. So you have to come to the game with some power. And I think they have the tools. I think they will get better. Hugh McCutchen made a great comment to me. He said, look, when players come to the international game, they need to not expect to be really good for 8 years.
Yeah, I remember you told me that. That's a crazy number.
It is, but it makes perfect sense. He said by your second Olympics, so maybe it's seven or six, depending on how it falls, but by your second Olympics is when you as a player should really expect to be peaking in your abilities. From my own experience, I think that's true.
So is 2012 unrealistic because we'll have some women that are impact players playing in their first Olympics? Or will they have a combination of experienced players so it might not matter as much?
I don't think it'll matter as much.
Gotcha.
I think some of those other players should step to the plate. And you'd expect Logan Thom to log more time.
Sure.
Player with a lot of experience. Heather Bowne, Danielle Scott still going. So I think right now, this is still that second year. They're playing a lot of younger players, getting them experience, trying to make choices as a staff as to who you're going to put more time into, who you're going to back off, and really start to look at next year, which is a critical year. First opportunity to qualify for the Olympics comes at the end of next season with World Cup. That's when you start to really form your squad and really look at 2012. So
yep.
This year is still a training year. And even Grand Prix, big event, money on the line, a lot of travel, but this is top-level competition, and you need that for your younger players. You need to be able to assess where they're at.
Well said, my friend.
So I think that's a big part of it. I still would like to see them do
and
better.
And you have a phenomenal coach.
A great coach.
Yeah.
And a great assistant coach.
Proven.
Yeah. He has a system that's still being put in.
Mm-hmm.
Still being put in. The girls are still learning. He has appreciated, when I talked to him, he said he appreciates how open the women have been to learning and how quickly they've been making changes.
Do you think they're digging it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Overall, when I talk to them, they're digging it. Now, I've heard a couple of rumblings about some of the way things are done, but that's always going to be the case.
And with that many people on a team and fighting for spots, it's always
yeah.
going to be that way, right?
The team was
that way in every sport.
The team was chosen late, for instance. Girls didn't know until the last few days who was going on Grand Prix, who was going on the first trip. I don't know why that is. I would like to see players know earlier. You know a week out more or less who's going, and if you haven't, if you don't know, I don't know why you can't make that decision. You know, Doug used to wait until the last like hour. We used to joke that you'd have to show up. There'd be 20 guys show up with suitcases, and 12 would get on the plane. That's a little bit extreme. Doug would wait till like last practice, and people were trying to make other plans and things. But I think at a week out, if you don't know the roster, then something's wrong. I think you should let that information out. But there's a little grumbling about that. But even that, that's just small. And Hugh went through the same thing with the men. When he's trying to change a culture and get people used to a way of doing things and a way of representing the United States and being a part of that team, there was a lot of grumbling in 05, 06, 07. They were all on message. Everybody had bought in. It had been explained. And that's one of the really good things about Hugh. He's always on message.
Sure.
And constantly. He's letting you know where you stand, what's going on. He's very forthright and very deliberate about what he does and the way he communicates with players, and I think over time that pays dividend, even though there's an adjustment period now.
I'm excited for this team. I don't know if it's because Hugh made the move over and he's got Karch, and I think I know some of these younger players from following them in college or broadcasting some games. So I'm excited to see where this team can go.
Amazing potential.
Yeah.
Amazing potential. So, rough start for them. I'd like to see them win if for no other reason so I can do a few more matches on Universal Sports.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they don't make the finals, I don't do the matches. Come on,
I love
USA.
I love how smart you're getting in this business.
It's hand-to-mouth around here. Come on. Butkus, get us some sponsors for this show, please. Hey, speaking of sponsors, we have Mikasa Sports has been very kind to this program. We love the relationship we have with them. We have some great stuff. We have trivia coming up later. And you can get in here and win, answer three questions right, you can win a signed VLS 300 ball signed by Phil and Todd, the most dominant beach volleyball team in the universe.
Good segue.
They played this past weekend, taking their seventh gold.
You know, 2 weeks ago, they were in Klagenfurt, Austria, another Grand Slam, they win the gold.
Right.
You know, then they go to Stavanger. Was it Stavanger? Is that where they were this week? Another gold. 7 out of 10 on the FIVB Tour. That's traveling back and forth to the United States where they're 5 for 5. So they've won 12 titles. 12 titles in 15 events. They wrapped up the first U.S. Tour title on the FIVB since Stokey and St. John won it in around 92 or 93. Much harder to win it now.
Yeah. Rest of the world is much better.
Yeah, and they don't play in that many. So, obviously, the light AVP schedule has helped them play in more. But for them to win the tour title over there this early, actually, I mean, there's still some events left, to me, is incredible.
7 of 10, 70% winning percentages. Remarkable, given the competition that's out there. The Brazilians, the Germans, the Spaniards. There's a lot of great teams today that didn't exist 15 years ago.
You know, when you talk to Phil and Todd, you talk about the Brazilians that are so tough. You know, those guys are switching and trying to find that right match. And I honestly believe it's to find that right formula to beat Phil and Todd.
Well, you have to do something.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any beating Phil and Todd the way they are now. When I watch Phil play in particular, to watch him even hit a shot.
Yeah.
He goes high line. It's not high line. It's straight down line over you,
yeah.
But it's just slowed up a little bit. It's like a changeup.
They are, without a doubt, playing their best volleyball. I asked Todd that a couple weeks ago in Long Beach. We were sitting in the players' tent and getting ready for the ABC broadcast, and he said there was a stretch in 08 where he felt pretty good. It was when they won three Grand Slams in a row in June and really put themselves in that number one seed. The Olympics, but I think back to then, they were playing phenomenal back then. Obviously, Todd's 2 years younger there, but I just don't know if I've seen the dominance like I have now from them.
They struggled in the Olympics.
Yeah,
people,
I mean, they lost a
they
lot.
Nearly lost.
They were down to Switzerland 6-1 in the third,
yeah,
in the quarters.
They were on their way out.
They were on their way out. But this is impressive. Rosie and Gibb, you know, been getting a lot of heat over here domestically on the AVP Tour. Just haven't had that finish at 1 second, but you know, they haven't played that well. They haven't won a tournament. They got 4 fifths over there, I think 3 in a row. They just can't get to the final four. I mean, they're so close.
What do you think the difference is for them? Why are they just off the edge? What do they need to change?
I think just a little more consistency in terms of playing well at the same time.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking from a guy who's only seen them on the AVP here and there when I run out to a quarter, they're on center court. I feel like when I see them and they're both playing well, they look like the old Rosie and Gibb. When I see them lose, one's playing well, one's not siding out. They're not serving. You know, they're never – I just think that's happening too often now, where before they would always get to the Final Four, always get to the finals. They might get rolled by Phil and Todd. They might beat them sometimes, but they were always right there.
Do you think they're not able to lift each other up the way they have in the past and kind of give that consistency to your partner?
It's a great question, man, because their chemistry is phenomenal. You know, when you talk to Rosie, he does talk about them coming off – some injuries, really bad injuries last year, him with that wrist. So they know that it's a process, and I think they're still feeling confident. But, you know, you got to kind of crack that egg, you know, just in your own mind, I think, because every year they would win a title, and now all of a sudden it's getting to.
It's funny, they're viewed.
There's 6 tournaments left, you know. So
Rosie and Gibb are viewed as equals, pretty much. When you talk about how good they are, it's equals. When you talk about Phil and Todd, inevitably people talk about how great Phil is.
Yeah.
And I think people forget how really great Todd is. That if you put Todd, even with another big blocker, Todd would be spectacular. He's an amazing player.
I'm so glad you said that, because whenever you're doing a broadcast with them, you find yourself just talking. Phil is just, it's so dominant.
You're in awe.
And sometimes you have a new audience, so you're trying to explain to them how good this guy is.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you don't want to forget what Todd does for that team. He is the steadiest side-out player in a long, long time. We're talking with Karch and St. John and Steffes. He's in that mold.
Yeah.
He's that good. And then defensively, he makes unbelievable plays. And he makes them in crunch time. He makes them when they're down. I mean, he is in the right spot, or he'll make the remarkable dig. He's got everything.
Well, he makes so many remarkable digs or extremely tough plays.
It's not that big deal anymore.
Look easy. Absolutely easy. So, yeah, those guys are in a world of their own.
Furbringer and Lucena did not play last week after getting to the finals and playing really well against Phil and Todd. And had a chance to maybe upset him. Nick hurt his quad, so they had to pull out. Casey Jennings and Brad Keenan broke up.
Wow.
Casey and I have been playing a lot of phone tag. I was trying to get the ins and outs of it. I know Casey was getting a little frustrated. And, you know, his text to me was that, hey, man, I'm not sure who I'm playing with now, but I'm going to London. So, I interviewed him because we're doing a documentary on Kerry a couple weeks ago in Long Beach. And he feels like he's never been playing better. He feels like he's right there. He's training as hard as he's ever trained, and I give him a lot of credit. I just don't know what's going to happen with him.
Who can he pick up?
That's what I mean.
Who do you think's a realistic partner?
A lot of it depends on the state of the AVP and where that's going and what guys say, hey, I'm going to stick this out, whether the AVP folds or not. I mean, I'm hoping the AVP doesn't, but it's a reality, and it might happen.
Yeah.
So which big guys stick around? Does Billy Strickland go, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm out? Does Prosser say, I'm going to go move on into coaching? You know, I'm just throwing guys out there. Does Nygaard say, yeah, I'm with Fergie now at SC, I'm done? You know, I mean, what happens? Does Kevin Wong say, maybe I'll go FIVB? What does Sean Scott do?
And, of course, what we just talked about, the partnership, is the real question. It's not a plug-and-play of parts. You can't say, okay, Casey Jennings is playing really well, feels like he's playing great, but you stick him with a Jeff Nygaard. Does that work? Does it even make sense? Or are you sticking with a Matt Prosser? Is that somehow going to be better than John Mayer? You don't know. You don't know how those personalities are going to play because you have to travel together, live together, play together. And especially on FIVB, you're a marriage.
You're a marriage. And especially on the FIVB, like, you have to get into pole position to have a chance to get into tournaments and a chance to get a good draw and a chance to, you know, this country qualifier, and then there's a qualifier, you know. So it's a long road, and Casey's been down that road a couple of times. So if he picks up a new partner, who's it going to be, and is that guy willing to, you know, to go along that road? The women did the worst they've ever done this last week. Misty and Nicole Kessie and Ross got 25th. Didn't make it out of pool play. That's unheard of, by the way. Akers got a 9th, which is respectable. Akers and Turner and Hanson and Fendrick got out of pool play, so they got a 17th. But, you know, it's funny. I was reading some chat boards and some message boards and reading some articles, and you wonder if the state of the AVP is wearing on these players' minds. You know, it's funny. I texted Phil.
It has to.
I texted Phil and Todd and congratulated him, and Todd wrote back, hey, thanks. You know, and Phil wrote back, I said, hey, I hope I see you in Manhattan. And Phil wrote back, I hope so, because I'm over Europe. It was just perfect. Phil, I mean, those guys want to come home.
He's not over those paychecks.
He's not over He's not over splitting $43,000, but I think they're ready to come home. I don't know about the women. I you know, I'm not as close to them, and I haven't talked to them in weeks. But is the uncertainty wearing on them? Or are they just not playing well? Is someone hurt? That's what you got to find out. You know, it's tough to. That's what's tough about if the AVP was to go away, Kevin. Following our American players. So what, you go to FIVB.org and you follow them? I mean, it's not up close and personal.
Yeah, how does it change for the fans? I don't know. I'm not sure what's going to happen. To give you a little update of what we know about the AVP at this point, I texted back and forth with CEO Jason Hodel, talked to him about an email about what's going to happen. I tried to get him to come on the program this week, and he said, hey, I'd love to, because I told him, I said, come on and squash the rumors.
And I thought he made a good point.
Rumors.
I thought he made a good point by saying, I don't want to give some information that's just not going to be right because people's lives are at stake, and I really want to have the ducks in a row before I come on. And I loved what you said. Come on, win or lose, come on next week. And he said yes.
Yeah,
I
so
thought
next
that was
week.
Really good. You know, but you know, so
next week we'll be hearing from him. If the AVP goes out of business, they dropped the day. I think it's Wednesday this week. They pushed it off a week.
Yeah, you know, that was going to be my report. You know, I've gotten a lot of tweets from people, which is cool that they ask how things are going and what's happening, and I'm getting tons of emails. It's hard for me to get back to everybody. You know, I've kind of just been sitting because I don't know personally.
Right.
I know that Wednesday is kind of that final decision day where they have to say, hey, we're going to fold up shop, or this investor is in, we're going to save the season.
I keep hearing that it's one investor that may put enough money into the tour is what I keep hearing through the grapevine.
And that is correct. I don't know the investor. Don't have that information. I just know that, you know, people are kind of still training and playing and trying to make it happen, but everyone's just, you know, everywhere I go in the South Bay, especially because it's such a volleyball community, everyone's talking about it and asking about it. And, you know, I was golfing with Walk Vogel last week, and he's like thinking about his next step in his life. Maybe he's like, hey, maybe I'll go to Breckenridge and play in the Corona Wide Open.
That's one of the steps for a lot of those players, is to go play Corona Wide Open.
Yeah, Loomis and Patterson have won it a couple times, and they're splitting $5,000. And
I want to talk about the Corona Wide Open for just a second, because there's a quote out there from Karch on Corona Wide Open's information talking about, it's ironic that we're doing so well, meaning the Corona Wide Open, his tour, when the AVP is struggling. Okay, fine, there's truth in that. But it's two totally different entities. Corona Wide Open is not looking to support a whole bevy of players.
Oh,
they're not looking to have professional volleyball players.
No TV.
No.
Yeah,
all they're supporting is having weekend mercenaries where, yeah, if you're a decent volleyball player, you might go away to a tournament and make a few $1,000. Great. But you can't make a living off the Corona Wide Open Tour. And we've talked about the fact that not a lot of people make a living off the AVP, but certainly more than the Corona Wide Open. And it's not a one-to-one comparison. There's no – I don't think that's a good way to say it about the sport. Yeah, the AVP is broken, but you're not the solution. It's not like the Corona Y Open. You can say, well, come on over to us. We'll take care of you. It's not built that way.
Yeah, I think with the Corona Wide Open, too, it's, you know, with Billy and Karch and Brian Lewis and people that have been involved in it, it's about the lifestyle. Excuse me. It's about the lifestyle that they grew up with, that was successful for them. And I think they're trying to recreate that. And, you know, they have the Oakley fashion shows, the bikini contests. And I think they found their niche. And I think it's really cool. I haven't checked it out yet, but I can tell you what, I'm probably going to now.
Yeah.
So I think they're happy with where it is, but you hit it on the head. It's two completely different things. And if the AVP goes away, the first question I'm going to ask, or I'm going to find out is it going away forever? Does a money guy come in and say, if it goes bankrupt, then I'll pick it up and we'll start over? Do we lose a lot of our value and sponsors because we didn't finish out the year? Those are questions that need to be answered.
I think those guys are out there. I think those guys are there.
There just has to be, right? I mean, it's a lot of people love this game.
I'm interested to know next week the inner workings of what happened. I think we'll get a real view into what happened, good, bad, or push. I don't know if they can push it off another week, but good, bad, or indifferent. If this process has come to a resolution, Jason Hodel will be on this program to talk about it. And I'm just interested to hear about the business of what went on. And, you know, we've talked about the model being broken, and Corona Wide Open may be on to some of what the model should be. You mentioned the bikini contest, and they've gotten rid of the sex appeal. Oh, we're not about that kind of thing. It's exploitation. Well, that's nice and PC, but, you know, maybe you're drawing more people into your event because you have that. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. So that's the AVP update. And let's go on to a U.S. Open of Surfing. This event went on in Huntington Beach this past weekend. And you mentioned Aaron Wachfogel. He has Autonomous USA, his shorts that he's been working on, and he's now an entrepreneur with those. And Phil and Todd have been wearing those, or I think Phil's been wearing those, and he's been wearing them and trying to be successful with it. And one of the comments Reed had from the U.S. Open of Surfing, he said, look, they're not selling surfing here. They're not selling the actual sport of surfing. They are selling product. There are hundreds of vendors and giant corporations involved that sell product.
It's like Hurley's and the Billabongs and all the surf companies?
Yeah, Quiksilver. And all those guys. Hurley, owned by Nike now, acquired by Nike. You're talking about a category in surfwear that is worn and bought by people who have never surfed, will never surf, but they wear the clothes. When you're talking about a Pac Sun, which Pacific Sunwear, which is a large chain store that's all over the United States, in Illinois, and there's no good surfing on Lake Michigan. But it's a place that they're not selling surfing, they are selling clothing. And US and volleyball doesn't have that type of angle. Volleyball clothing. Who wears volleyball clothing outside of volleyball?
Volleyball players wear board shorts.
They wear surf clothing. Yeah.
That's the truth.
So can volleyball create something similar to the U.S. Open of Surfing? Can they have a bunch of vendors and relationships and build an event around it? Because this not only is surfing, this is skating and BMX. There's a lot of that lifestyle stuff going on, that X Games lifestyle.
And you know,
go ahead.
You take Danny, you know, our boy Danny Madden, you take, you know, the kind of good product. You take Aaron's Autonomous product, the Bill Sigler Smack, you know, the guys that have done volleyball, you know, they're popular in the volleyball community. How do they get them out there like surfing has got them out there without the financial backing? You know what I mean? Hurley and Billabong, these are major, major companies. So how does volleyball get out to the masses? I mean, yeah, we have the Manhattan Open and we can be selling Danny stuff and Aaron stuff, but how does it get out to the stores? How does it get out to – you need backing.
It's got to have some designs.
It's because it's cool stuff.
Structure that people like, that people enjoy. And I wondered with the AVP, we're kind of intermixing the two issues still, but I wondered if the AVP wouldn't make sense for a company like Nike. They have Nike 6.0. which is their extreme sports, cool, edgy angle that's getting involved in motocross. They make motocross boots now for a couple of top riders, James Stewart and Ryan Dunch, the two best riders in the entire sport. They don't sell them yet, but they spent $100,000 developing these boots. You better believe they'll sell them eventually.
Yeah.
Because they see it as an emerging thing. They bought Hurley. They're responsible for that event this past weekend in Huntington Beach. That's Nike behind all that. That's big money.
That's big money.
Does Nike take over the AVP and turn it back into more of the Corona Wide Open, the lifestyle event that it used to be, change the business model around and have it be once again what it used to be, which was sort of a brand activation for Miller Lite,
yeah,
or for some of the other sponsors we've seen come and go, Crocs. It's a brand activation thing that's an advertising cost rather than a moneymaker. It's just an advertising cost, and the money getting kicked off the side to the players and to the other people involved, it's not meant to be a profitable business. It's meant to be an advertising vehicle.
And, you know, cool brands like Oakley and Quiksilver, they want to be involved with other cool brands that are cool in their opinion. And I think that's where, you know, the AVP has got some sponsors where, you know, maybe they don't think that they want to be affiliated with them. And that's just what I hear from people.
Yeah, we know they have some issues with that. And I think that's where you're going to have to shed things and come back and start anew. Who do you think fits with the AVP? Give us a call, 347-677-1525. What brand, what large company do you think fits well with the AVP in a new construct? Maybe not now, but in a new construct, if the AVP were to go away today, come back next year, what are the companies you think should own the property or the companies you think should be heavily involved with the property? Give us a call, 347-677-1525. We know you're out there listening. Even if you're at work, give us a call right now. Chris, we got to go somewhere. We got to go somewhere. So I'm going to go to this. We have another volley jet ride coming up. You weren't here last week. I don't know if you heard the volley jet ride.
No.
We have Ace over at Volleywood on Facebook.
Ace.
We want to go to the volley jet ride for him. He has great information usually about the international game and international signings. So let's take a listen. Here we go. Ace from Volleywood.
This is Ace for the Volley Jet Ride, and today we're going to cross the Atlantic Ocean and head to Europe. First destination is Turkey. The Federation has fired its women's coach, Alessandro Ciappini, after the team failed to win the European League crown in front of their fans 3 weeks ago. In the semifinal match against Bulgaria, Turkey was up 12-6, suffered a major breakdown, and eventually lost the set 13-15. The following day, Turkey was able to win the bronze against Israel, while Serbia defeated Bulgaria for the crown. Now back to Alessandro. He said that he resigned because he received a job offer to coach a club team in Poland. Well, congratulations, coach. You got fired, then you got hired. Next is Italy. Argentine turned Italian Carolina Costagrande might make her Italian team debut at the World Championships in Japan. According to a rumor, coach Massimo Barbolini has offered Carolina a spot after the great Cuban-turned-Italian Tamaris Aguero retired last year. The question is, are we going to see another naturalized player on the Italian team? Do they really need a naturalized player to play for their team? Well, we just have to wait and see. And finally, we're in Russia. Semen Platovsky and Alexei Kasatkov have been dropped from the squad and will not make it to the World Championships next month in Italy. Shocking. However, the great Russian libero Alexei Berbov has rejoined the team after missing the World League last month. Well, that's it, folks. This is Ace for the Volley Jet Ride. Until next time, back to the studio.
All right, there you go. Ace with the Volley Jet Ride. Remarkable.
Yes. That's new.
Yeah. He's got good information. Great information.
Solid.
Yeah. Especially the Russian national team. Kazakov gone.
Did you say he
gone?
You say he?
He.
He's connected.
He is connected. Ace has done a lot of stuff. If you follow Volleywood,
yeah,
has got some interviews with Tom Hoff, has gotten a lot of other stuff, so we decided to put him on the air.
God bless him.
Yeah. I think big stuff for Russia. Kazakov.
He could be our guy to just kind of in the know.
He is. I don't know where he gets all the information. He spends a lot of time searching international game, even more so than I do. It's quite a bit. I know, you're a little quiet over there.
I have not met Ace yet, but I appreciate his work on the show.
Now, he listens to the show here. We know Ace is always listening. One of the big fans. He called in even a year ago. He was one of the first people to call in. Now nobody calls in. 347-677-1525.
I tell you what I do appreciate.
We'll put a question out there. Nobody calls in. Nobody has any idea what company it might be.
We get Alex and Brandon talking about their team.
Yeah.
There was never a question.
What about ConAgra? Could ConAgra come in and own it? We could have like big cattle, big sides of beef out there on the beach.
I mean, at this point, Harris Ranch.
Come on. Somebody come up with something. Think of something. We'll have to ask Holly McPeak. We have Holly McPeak coming up just after the hour. She's going to be rushing up to her house. We're going to ask her about the AVP.
Yes.
She has to have an opinion.
Has to.
Definitely has an opinion. For those of you who don't know, Holly McPeak married to Leonard Armato.
Leonard Armato.
Original founder of the AVP, correct? Back in the mid-80s?
Yep, and then came back in 2001.
Right. Resurrected the tour.
Resurrected the tour. And was let go or left 2009.
Summarily dismissed. I hear it wasn't a retirement.
May last year.
Yeah, I think it was one of those resignations, forced resignations. He was removed. So we know that Holly's going to have an opinion on what's going on in the sport. Dieter, we're going to try and take a break here.
Let's take one.
I got to come up with something, though. I got to find it here. So you're going to have to carry the show for a minute.
I have no problem doing that. Women's indoor volleyball starting today. That excites me, by the way, because I think the women's indoor game, as I've said on this show, has never been better. I'm a huge basketball fan, but women's indoor volleyball is better than women's college hoops. Okay, I said it right here on the show. Last year's Final Four, highest level I've ever seen in the women's indoor game. So I'm excited to get that going. A lot of our friends and a lot of guys that we used to play with and against, you know, are now coaching in the college ranks. That makes it fun for us. There's a lot of great women out there that we know that are coaching. So I just think women's indoor volleyball is really, really on the up and up.
Yeah, that final last year was sick.
Yeah.
Just a great volleyball match. I was sad to see Texas lose.
Oh, man, my guy, Jarrett. Oh. I was devastated for him. They were right there.
It was great volleyball.
Yeah. They almost had one of the biggest, you know, wins ever. I mean, you know, you're talking whatever, how many matches they had in a row. I don't know. What's Penn State's at? They're over 100 now, aren't they?
Yeah, Penn State.
That's impressive what Russ Rose has done. I just never forget when I was giving you guys had me on as a guest. I just called in. I was outside Uncle Bill's. In Manhattan Beach, and I said 15-13 Texas in the fifth, and you guys said, hey, by the way, Russ Rose is on hold right now. I said, sorry, coach, and I got off the line.
We're baiting you. We're just baiting you. We're setting you up. Hey, instead of playing some meaningless commercial with the wrong time for our program, we want to play a little music here. I want to play a little B.O.B. You probably heard B.O.B.
B.O.B.
This is a good one. Magic.
Let's do it.
Give you a little run. We're going to take a little break ourselves. Come on. Here it comes. Enjoy. The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com.
Any verse, I hypnotize you with every line. I'll need a volunteer. How about you with the eyes? Come on down to the front, stay right here and don't be shy. I have you time traveling, have your mind babbling. People trying to inherit the skills, so they asking me. Even David Blaine had to go and take some classes in. I see mind freak like, what's up, man? What's happening? So come on, come on. You see the show tonight. You better be a sound. Ain't no ghost or poltergeist. You know I'm no Pinocchio. I never told a lie. So call me Mr. Magic. So whatever you saying, it don't entertain my ego. I do this every day.
There you go. Magic. B.O.B. Love that song. My kids love that song. Get in the car. Dad, can I pick a song? Inevitably, one of those is Magic. Welcome to Net Live again here on the VolleyballNetwork.com. We appreciate you staying with us. We've covered a lot of ground here. We talked about the Hurley U.S. Open of Surfing. We've talked about the Women's National Team in action in Grand Prix. Talked a little bit about the FIVB and the unstoppable Phil and Todd. We still have a giveaway to go here. We have a nice interview coming up with Holly McPeak, Volleyball Hall of Famer. She'll be calling in shortly. But I want to get to the giveaways here, Geeter, because we have a lot of stuff. All right, we have our trivia.
Stuff.
You got to answer three questions correctly. You come in, you call in, 347-677-1525. You answer three questions correctly, and we send your way a signed ball, Phil and Todd signed beach volleyball from Mikasa. You can play with it. You can put it on your mantle. You can store it in your office. Do whatever you want with it.
Play with it.
347-677-1525. Yeah, you can sign merchandise. Do you use it? Or do you hang, you put it somewhere?
Signed merchandise you got to put somewhere. What's the point of having it signed? I mean, it rubs off and sweat and wear and tear.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's got some important names on there, I mean, if you got Phil and Todd on there.
You got to put it up somewhere on the
you
mantle.
You got to put it up.
Right in the living room.
No
little point. Living room. Right above the fireplace. 347-677-1525. Call in now. Answer three questions. We'll put the ball in the mail. It'll be on its way to you. Now, nobody's calling in this week. Everybody called in last week. Maybe they peaked. You know, I needed help. They feel like I don't need help this week. We have you.
We got 42 people in the chat room.
Yeah, 42 people listening live. Not a single one's going to call in to win this ball.
Mm-mm.
Maybe the AVP
43
is
dead. Now.
43. Come on, 44.
That's just the people in the chat room. I mean, there's other people around the listening that maybe aren't in the chat room, right?
Hey, we've got another giveaway. We've got stuff going on. We not only have Mikasa during the show, but we also have lots of other great stuff. We have bags of gear. We have bags of balls. What else do we have, intern Kevin? We have a whole list of stuff. Mizuno bag full of brand new Mizuno gear. This is all USA gear, national team stuff you can't get anywhere else. Signed merchandise from Reed Pretty, from other athletes around the national team program, men, women.
Reed is rad.
We've got it all out there. Now listen, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be giving away a lot of those prizes, but you have to participate in our contest. It's Caught in the Net. It's our Caught in the Net sweepstakes. You can find out more about it on thevolleyballnetwork.com. It's right there on the front page. If you visit thevolleyballnetwork.com, there's six different ways to enter your name each week into a drawing for some of this great stuff. And we'll have announcements coming up on the show as to who's taking it home. There are different tasks, and you get some tickets put into the bin. And each week we draw a ticket and give away some cool stuff.
I'm going to tweet for a caller and see what happens.
There you go. That's one of the ways you
That's how we
can
get prank calls, though, too.
You can put tickets in because if you tweet, if you retweet stuff about the Volleyball Network or about the Net Live, you can enter yourself into these contests. So 347-677-1525, if you want to play the program right now, play the trivia, take home a Phil and Todd ball. We know guys in the past have had it, been very excited. It gets there in like 4 days. It's out on your porch. So far, looks like I'm taking home the ball. I won't even have to answer one of these questions. Geeter, let's talk about football, I guess.
Yeah, we've talked about the AVP. We've talked about the FIVB. Women's indoor volleyball starting.
Yeah, top five. Who's your top five this year?
My top five, Stanford, Penn State, Nebraska, Texas, USC. I got Illinois
USC,
in there.
Huh?
I got Illinois in there in the top ten. I got Washington. I got Michigan. You know, Illinois went to the Sweet 16 last year, and they got a great recruiting class. So I think they'll be good.
Kevin
Hawaii,
Hambley, head coach.
Kevin Hambley's. Try to get him on the show.
We try to get a lot of coaches for this week. A lot of coaches, much like Brandon, starting out practice this week. So we have agreements for people to come on in the following few weeks. Jim McLaughlin's going to be coming on.
Yep.
Mick Haley's going to be coming on from USC.
Did
Jim McLaughlin of Washington, of course.
Texted with McLaughlin last night. He was going to be kind of in the middle of practice, so he said he'd love to come on next week. And, you know, Mick's always down for coming on, but they had practice as well. So we'll start to maybe get those guys on, especially with the season coming in, you know.
Yeah, we're going to talk to him. Now, top five out here on our Facebook page, The Net Live at Facebook. We had Jay Hosick from Penn State, surprising. Number one, yep. Nebraska. Number two, Penn State. What is team number two? Number three, UCLA, and number four, Florida. He didn't even give us a number five. So I assumed he was voting Penn State number five also.
I have Florida kind of rounding out that top ten as well. Weak schedule. We'll see what happens. But Penn State's always going to be there. I mean, they got a great recruiting class, and of course they lose, you know, big guns that are now at the national team, and they've won 102 in a row or whatever it is. But you can't not have them in there until somebody beats them.
Well, Russ Rose is one of those guys, much like we talked about Hugh McCutchen, who's building a program. That's what he's doing. He's building a program, and so you can plug players in. You can bring in new players and have them be right into your show, into your program, and they will perform at a similar level because they've been brought up as how to play, how to represent Penn State.
Sure.
So I think they're always going to be up there. Hey, we've got one quick caller here. 949, you are on the air. Welcome to the Net Live.
It's very strange to be calling you and then hear you mention my name about my Facebook post. So it's Jay from Pennsylvania.
Jay Hosick, welcome back to the program. Even though his name is spelled Hosack, his name is Hosick.
It's all good. It's all good. Hey, you know, I had a few things I wanted to talk about. I just felt so sad that you were screaming for callers and nobody would call, so I said I'd go against my wishes and give you guys a little jingle. Hey, the top five. You know, some people had written me some emails, and, you know, the top five is so tough. And I had Florida in there at first, and then, you know, I think Hawaii is outstanding to watch. And, Guido, I think you could attest to this as well. They're so scrappy, and they're such hard players, and they're just really, really fun to watch. Shoji just does such a nice job out there. So I think you got to put them in that top five. I think Stanford will be somewhere in the mix. I don't know how good they're going to be this year. I haven't seen or heard anything, but you guys would be a little closer to that. But, you know, Nebraska and Penn State, and they're all real good. And UCLA, you know, even though they haven't been, you know, knocking on the Final Four door much, I think the new coaching staff there is going to do good things, and I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised how close they're going to get in the next couple of years.
I think UCLA is motivated in a way they haven't been for quite a few seasons.
No doubt. They'll be just give Steele some joy and Dan Connors a couple of years, and they'll be back.
I just wonder if Jay had to be escorted or if he's been reprimanded, formally written up for voting Penn State number two instead of number one.
You know, I have not been written up yet, but Russ is walking around the gym, and I didn't get a chance to pop my head in and say hello, but I'm sure he might give me a little bit of a wrist slap here and there.
But, Jay, even though they lose – you know, some of those All-Americans and, of course, Megan, but you still have to beat them, right? They have to be up there because until they're beaten, they got to be a top-three team.
I think you're right, and I think it's the old adage, until somebody knocks them off, you got to leave them at number one. And I tell you what, Russ, you know, last year at the beginning of the season, like I'm sure he does every year, you ask him how he thinks he's going to do, and he'll downplay everything and say, you know, we're not going to be very good. And the next thing you know, he rattles off how many straight. So, you know, I've seen the freshman girls walking around. They're ginormous, and apparently some of them are some pretty good ballers. I think I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't think they're going to have another undefeated season this year. I think there's going to be some teams that are going to come in that are going to be not only gunning for them, you know, because they want to knock the streak off, but just because they're going to be a little bit bigger and a little older and a little more wiser. So, yeah, I think they are number one until you beat them. I don't know how long that's going to last.
Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten is so tough, especially with Minnesota, who I forgot is probably a top 10 team, right, Jay? I mean, you got Minnesota, Penn State, Illinois, Michigan. Those are all teams that were in the Sweet 16 or better. So the Big Ten looks strong, and of course the Big 12 with Iowa State, Texas, and Nebraska.
You know, and just wait till Nebraska actually is a full-fledged member. I mean, you got to look at that conference, and it's got to be right there with Pac-10 in terms of overall caliber and talent. That's just going to be unreal.
Here's what I love is that we have this discussion about it, and you know that come tournament time, every one of those teams are going to be in. And
absolutely.
No matter the result from the season, you're going to get to see some of these matchups. You're going to get to see how it all shakes out at the end of the year.
Yeah, and it is like the Pac-10, as you mentioned. You're always going to have SC. You're always going to have Stanford. You're always going to have Washington. You're going to have UCLA. I mean, you just know those teams are now in that class.
Definitely.
It's cool. Volleyball is nationwide now. It's not just Penn State and everybody else out there. There's other great teams in the East and in the Midwest.
Oh, it's. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a fun season to watch, that's for sure. Hey, let me change subjects and ask you guys a question real quick. I have not been following up. What happened to the ADP? Are they getting sponsored? What's the score here?
It's been pushed off a week. We've got Jason Hodell coming in next week.
Yeah, we're looking for Wednesday. You know, they just they need an infusion of money. You know, TV production is high, and so is operations. And I think we thought we had the investors ready to go. And you know, they're still optimistic, Jay. But I know that that's you know, as each day passes, I think we're getting more and more nervous. I think Wednesday is kind of the final day where we're going to know if we're going to have Manhattan, Chicago, Cincinnati, Hermosa, and San Francisco.
The resumes are going out. That's the answer.
It's panic time over at the Geeter House, no question.
Oh, no. Well, listen, I sent an email, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. What if the AVP were to become more of a satellite-type tour where they join on board with the FIBB of sorts and create kind of an ATP, the Professional Tennis League, where maybe there's four majors or five majors throughout the world throughout the year, and then you have smaller tournaments like the ADP that become qualifier for those big tournaments. Do you think there might be some more pull where people are actually pulling for countries where I think Phil and Todd might be able to actually garner a little bit more excitement? Because I'll be honest with you, and as good as players as they are, and you've seen my posts, I get bored watching them win all the time, and I don't want to see them beat up on the same guys over and over again. But if there's something of an Olympic atmosphere where you now have the countries going against the countries, would that not create a little bit more hype and maybe give it a little bit more wheels? I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
All right, AJ, we're gonna hang up on you. We appreciate that. We'll go off on that topic right now.
Got it. See you guys.
All right, see you.
All right, later, Jay.
What do you think?
You know, Mike Dodds talked about that. I've talked about it. I love the idea of majors, having one in Brazil, having one in Europe, having one in the United States. There is something to be said about people rooting for the countries, and you've seen it firsthand at the Olympics.
The flag comes first.
And so have I.
Yeah.
I've always said I love the sport of beach volleyball. I've been a part of it for 13 years as an announcer. I know these players. I'm invested in them, and so are the real fans. But for the casual fan, you want to cheer for your team, your college, your country. That's why it's really tough to get those fans that don't know the sport or don't care about it or don't play it, because who are they rooting for? They know Kerry Misty from the Olympics.
They are Olympic athletes. We
Olympic
talked about that
athletes,
on the show before.
So
they're not volleyball athletes. They're Olympic athletes.
There is something to be said of what Jay was talking about, where, you know, people do identify with the USA on the jersey. And I think I think we can still have a strong AVP domestic tour. But I do think we need to bring countries in and do some satellite events here. We do need to be on the same page with USA Volleyball and the FIVB.
Yeah.
Absolutely agree.
Okay. I want to come back to that topic again with you and I in a little bit. But well, we do have on the line, I guess we've been promoing this entire show and winning the entire show.
So good.
It's one of the all-time greats in the sport of volleyball. She's a three-time Olympian. Or with 72 open wins. And I had the pleasure of hosting her induction into the Volleyball Hall of Fame last fall. Holly McPeak, welcome to the Net Live.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Holly, truly one of my favorite people, someone I call a dear friend as well. Holly and I broke into the broadcasting business together. Barnett, do you remember that, Holly? 2005, Pac-10 women's volleyball.
How could I forget? It was fantastic.
So who's better now? That's
Holly.
The question.
Holly.
Geeter, for sure. Hands down.
Come on.
Oh, you guys
I just finished training Nicole Brana and Carrie Walsh and Annette Davis and Jenny Johnson-Jordan on the beach. So I had a fun day this morning.
Yeah, we were going to talk to you first about, before we really get into the nuts and bolts of this interview, but we wanted to talk to you about what are you doing now? I mean, you retired last year from volleyball. Of course, the whole volleyball community misses you dearly. What are you doing now? Like, what's the main thing? Is it coaching?
Well, you know, I'm training some high-level pros on the beach about 3 days a week, and I'm doing the TV coverage for USN of the FIVB, which is fun. It's fun to be able to see what the level of play is and compare it to our talent that we have here in the U.S.
You know, Holly, your workouts were absolutely legendary. Do you put those girls through the same workouts?
I don't. It's people don't like to train longer than 2 hours anymore. So I try and keep it high quality for 2 hours, and I push them hard. But I think they get the most out of it that way. Some people don't like to train longer than that, and I don't want them getting tired or injured at the end of practice.
How's Carrie Walsh looking?
Carrie Walsh is looking fantastic. I mean, today was one of her best days so far, hitting the ball extremely high contact, moving really well. Her block looks good. She's ready to challenge for a title.
Well, now, Nicole Brana was there, you said? She and Misty
Yes.
next weekend?
Well, Well, Misty's in Moscow. She's in Russia promoting some type of ambassador to sports program. So Nicole Branagh came back. She's on her own, and Carrie Walsh is here because Brooke Hampson is in Norway playing with Lauren Fendrick. So they joined up, and we had a good high-level practice this morning.
How do Jen Kessy, April Ross, Misty May Traynor, and Nicole Branagh get a 25th in the same tournament? Please explain.
Very good question. Shocking. You know, they play pool play in these Grand Slams, and they're losing matches that they should not lose, teams that they should regularly beat. I wrote April Ross on Facebook, and she responded with, "Hey, we're really struggling with our serve in this Mikasa ball. We don't have a good feel. These girls play with it every week. Just in terms of their hand on the ball for shots, their offense, everything. But their serving is a huge weapon. So if they're not serving the Mikasa ball well, their confidence is not what it usually is. And I think that's been a problem. And I think probably the same for Nicole and Misty. They're going back and forth from AVP to FIVB and not ever getting consistent feel on that international ball.
You know, Phil and Todd have talked to me about that too. Todd said that's the one thing that they do struggle with over there, even though they continue to dominate the world, is their passing because of that.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to have two different balls to play the same sport.
Yeah, imagine like having two different weights in your basketball when you go to game to game. It would be impossible.
It affects your shot, absolutely, and especially their serving. They're serving for Kessy and Ross, and even Nicole, that's a big weapon for her as well. I saw this weekend, I covered the final where the Chinese lost a three-set match to Larissa and Juliana, and it was all about serving. And the time, the match in Moscow, it was a final where China beat Kessy Ross, and the Chinese out-served Kessy Ross, which you rarely see.
Never see that.
When you talk about the serving, do you think that the women's game is going the way of the men's and becoming more of a power game?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think there's still a lot of finesse. I think the players are bigger. I think they have more offensive range now than they ever have had in the past. But the Chinese girl, the one who's serving the ball extremely well, Shui Chen, is about 6'3" and serves a floater with heat on it. And it just moves a lot. So it's not like anybody – I would say almost – except for maybe four or five girls internationally, nobody's bombing their jump serve. So it's not a power jump serve game.
You're listening to Net Live here on the VolleyballNetwork.com. We're talking to Volleyball Hall of Famer Holly McPeak. Holly, how much of a distraction do you think the up-in-the-air nature of the AVP is for the international players?
I think it's a big distraction. You know, all those girls want to come and play in the U.S. I mean, they don't want to be living out of a suitcase for 5 to 6 weeks at a time, which they've all opted to do now because of the nature of what's going on with the AVP. Most of the girls have been, you know, fortunate to have a life, you know, here at home and not have to do that like the rest of the international players. But for the three or four or five teams that do play internationally, they're at least fortunate that they have the opportunity to go play on the tour. The rest of the players are scared to death. They own homes. They have payments they need to make. And the uncertainty is very scary.
Holly, you know, you've been through a lot as a pro beach volleyball player, the WPBA, the BVA, and then the AVP. Can you imagine a place where we don't have the AVP anymore? I mean, what would happen to volleyball in the United States?
It's mind-boggling. I feel like we went back to the future. I feel like what's happening now is what happened back at the end of the 90s. And lots of players in the office and, you know, people in the office, we just need a different mindset, different game plan, and it feels like it did at the end of the 90s with everything falling apart. And we, as a sport, can't afford to have that again. And it's unfortunate. We have some very bright players, but I just think we need business people running the sport. And it's a shame, and I hope we can pull out of it. It's a great asset. The AVP is a powerful sports commodity, and I hope we can pull out of it.
What do you know about the people who are in charge now, in particular Nick Lewin?
You know what? I don't know enough, but I know that they are not pulling in any sponsors. And they have an expensive TV package, and it's tough to make ends meet. And it's unfortunate.
You know, Holly, you and I, of course, are on the TV side now, and so you look at it both ways. You know, it's so great to be on it and to be a part of it. And the other side of that is you have to be able to pay for it. Can you imagine us having the tour without any TV? Would that be a way to go?
No, the honest truth is in my gut, I feel like we're going to have to scale back and have different promoters run events all over the country. And maybe the players can create an association amongst themselves where they say, okay, these are the guidelines. If you want the top players here, this is what you have to have. Because the business model that we have now doesn't seem to be working. I mean, the management that's in there now, okay, did they not know that we didn't have sponsors or enough to pay for the TV package? I don't know. So I'm thinking maybe we go to more of a promoter-driven event, maybe promoter events throughout the country, and have give them the rights to sell the entire event, and they can sell TV and worry about it. But right now, whatever business model they're using does not seem to be working.
Holly, you spent a lot of time away from the AVP now and a lot more time with indoor. We've been talking about kind of the run-up to the NCAA women's season opening up with the first day of practice being today. Tell us about the upcoming Pac-10 season and what you think about the different teams that are in there. We've heard a lot of talk about Pac-10 teams in the top 10 and the top 5.
Well, you know, Pac-10's always expected to be, you know, a threat. I'll tell you, I covered Pac-10 last year, and they have some very competitive teams. But overall, once I went and saw Nebraska and Penn State and Texas, I was like, wow. I mean, they were at a different level last year. So I'd like to see the Pac-10 step up and raise the level. I think Stanford's going to be rebuilding a little bit, but at the same time, they've got the experience from Alex Kleiman and Cassidy Lickman, and then they've got some young freshmen that are really talented coming in. Washington should be good as well. Washington was good last year. They're all a year older. I think they only lost one middle. But they've got some talent. Washington could be a big threat. SC is reloading. They've got Fallon Fanoimoana, one of the top recruits in the country, coming in. But they're losing Jeff Geisen, who is a big ball control player for them. And I believe they've lost one of their middles, Audrey Eichler, who's not coming back to play. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think SC is underperformed. I think UCLA is a big question mark with the departure of Lauren Cook and Amanda Gill. But I think they're hungry and they have a lot to prove.
How long is it going to take, you think, or shall I ask, when will Mike Seeley and Joy have that turned around? Because I feel like they got some hungry coaches in there that want to turn it around.
Oh, yeah. I think we got great coaches in there. And, you know, he needs to get his recruits in there. So in the next 4 years, he's going to start getting his recruits and turning it into his program. So I think, you know, we have to give him that time. Obviously, you got to do what you can do with the talent that you have now and make the best of it.
Holly, I want to get your take on this because Kevin and I and Reed and Dan, we talk about this all the time on the show, about the beach game and the indoor game. But the women's college volleyball game, no matter what's going on in the world of volleyball, that game itself seems to be at the highest level that I've ever seen it. I mean, when you look at the Big Ten and the Big 12 and how strong those conferences are, where you're putting them in the same sentence as the Pac-10, have you ever seen it at a higher level?
No. Nationwide, no. And I think it's great for the sport. It's fantastic to see such a high level and people, you know, like Jared at Texas and Russ at Penn State leading the charge. I mean, they've created these programs that are just powerhouses every year, and they just keep reloading. And that's something we used to see at UCLA back in the 80s. Used to just reload top recruits every year and just keep dominating. And I think it's good to see that kind of talent throughout the country.
Holly, I want to get back to the AVP for just a second. Leonard, of course, started, your husband, Leonard Armato, started the AVP back in the 90s and resurrected it around 2000. If it falls apart now, does he have any interest in returning to that property, or is he done?
Zero. It's a thankless job, no matter what he does for the sport. And, wow, has he done a lot? You know, it's a thankless job. I don't think the players appreciated what they had. And, you know, he's done it twice. He's moved on to bigger and better things. And he, I'll tell you, he was working 20-hour days to keep the sport alive and keep it from being in the situation that it's in right now. And I don't think people realize that. And it's a shame. He put his heart and soul into it. I did too, and as well as I know the players do. So it's just a really unfortunate situation, and it breaks both of our hearts.
I will tell you this. I always appreciated him. That's for sure.
Good.
I let
him well,
all the time. Oh, man.
You're one of the few.
Well, Holly, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on the Net Live. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day down there by the beach. We can hear the pleasant sounds of Manhattan Beach there in the background.
It is a perfect day at the beach. If you can play hooky the rest of the day, I recommend it.
Hey, and Holly, you killed it again. Good job. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Thanks, Holly.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know,
bye.
Honestly, though, she is right when she says it's a thankless job. I mean, you're in that position where Leonard was. It's going to be tough to please everybody. I mean, you know, she knows because we talk about it all the time. You know, I had a relationship with Leonard where, you know, we went at it. On occasion, we had our you know, ups and downs as boss and employee, but
yeah.
Like, you know, just like anybody does, we'd fight over little things, you know, where I wanted, can I wear this? Can I wear that? But I never did not know who was in charge, and I always respected his opinions. He motivated me. He gave me a platform to do some things that I'll never, ever forget and appreciate. He did some stuff for my family, too, that people don't know about that were amazing, you know, like giving me a place to stay when we needed a place to stay. And, you know, so he did a lot of great things and saved our ass back in 2001.
I thought it was a very shrewd and political answer when we asked her about Nick Lewin. And she mentioned sponsors and TV package about the new people in charge and I think if there's one thing people would take away from the time Leonard was there, would say no matter what was happening, Leonard could sell the sport. He could sell the sport to sponsors and bring in money from sponsors to raise the level of the tour, the visibility of the tour, and the financial health. He did a lot of things to make that happen. And certainly if you look at his run in the beginning and his run bringing it back in 2000, it was on a rise through a lot of the time that he was in charge. Love him, hate him. Otherwise, the numbers are there. The sport grew under him, definitely.
Yeah, no question about it.
I thought another thing that she touched on that was what we were talking about with Jay. And Reed and I have talked about this too, that it may be the AVP goes away. There's no more AVP tour. But there are 5 or 6 or 7 events throughout the summer that are professional volleyball events. You're talking about a Manhattan, a Hermosa, Chicago, Cincinnati, where else is, you could probably find 1 or 2 others that would be big enough events to bring in all the players, to be promoted. It would be huge locally, be a great one-off event, and then you might have those get picked up individually by a broadcast network maybe 2 years down the road, but you'd have to build the numbers of people there, much like this show. We need to build the number of people on this show before we can bring it to the advertisers. I think maybe you're back to that model with the AVP.
You know, it's hard. You had mentioned no more AVP tour, and all of a sudden I started thinking, okay, no more health benefits for me. $1,200 a month I'm going to have to pay like I was paying before.
Yeah.
I got scared. Sorry. So I blacked out. But I'm back. I'm back. But what you say is valid. And I mean, and when you say it, it makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of things in there that could work, you know. I mean, your Manhattans, your Chicagos, your big markets. You have the, you know,
everybody
country,
you talk to says the business model is broken. There's got to be some other way to structure it. There has to be something else to do. There can't be this overarching structure. And you don't have to travel all the equipment. You don't have to travel the stadium. You don't have to bring all the same crew to everything. And it's not good if you're a member of the crew that you were going to every event. You had the steady paycheck and the health benefits. But since it's not working, you know, you could use local everything. And then bringing the players. And the players, of course, are bringing themselves, so it's not an expense. Whoever you get, you get. And maybe that's the answer. I think the announcers, you still have to bring in the announcers. You still have to bring in Geeter.
Yeah, I have to.
Who
right?
else? Who else are you going to bring in, dude? You're like the property. AVP featuring Chris McGee.
I right? got Angels this weekend. Got in the Angels series, worked the Dodgers yesterday, so maybe it's baseball and football for me and basketball.
Maybe you're on to bigger things.
You know, which I'm enjoying. I mean, I'm you know, hey, there's a lot of good going on in my life as well. You know, I got the whole football package for FSN in the fall, and I got women's volleyball for ESPN. I got 4 matches, so I'm excited about the future, but I've also put a lot into the AVP. I mean, 13 years. So for me, you know, there's a pit in my stomach for the last 3 weeks, and, you know, it's an emotional time for a lot of us. And, you know, I know I've joked about it on this show and stuff about the benefits and stuff, but it is a real concern. It's scary. I mean, of course, we'll be, you know, you move on, you get, you know, you go to another full-time job or you pay for your benefits a different way. I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, I've worked a long time to get to a certain place with the AVP, get my TV package and deal, sponsorship package and deal. So I'm pretty proud of that fact. And then for it to go away, you know, it's like being punched in the stomach.
Well, and you know the sport. You love the sport.
Yeah.
You've watched them grow up.
So.
You're friends with everybody. Everyone's a close friend. Who are you going to have dinner with anymore? I mean, even Butkus. You know, nobody wants to sign Ball. I don't think. 347-677-1525.
Shocking.
Either that or they think they don't know any trivia. They've heard our trivia before, and it was just too hard. We had Alex writing the trivia before. Now we've got Butkus here, and I see some good questions. I see some very answerable questions on here. 347-677-1525 is the number. If we can't give this ball away, we're just going to mail it to somebody we know.
Let's mail it.
Maybe we'll mail it to Phil. Here, Phil.
Here, Phil.
Ball signed by you.
Nobody wanted it.
For you. Put this up in your living room. Geeter?
Heck of a show.
Always.
I got to tell you.
I always love pubbing it at the end. Another great show.
This one actually really, really was, Butkus. Informative. I thought Holly was outstanding.
She's good. And that's why
Jay came
so much
in
TV
and
work.
Killed it on the women's volleyball side. Great chat room discussions. 50 users.
All on the chat board.
Yeah.
The chat board gets sideways sometimes. They kind of go off on their own. They've got their own thing going. You look over on the chat board and they're talking about Lindsay Lohan or something. You know.
Yeah. Dan's always fighting people on there.
Yeah, Josh is in there. Dan is in there. I think eventually we might even have a spoken show. We'll all just be in the chat board.
And by the way, Dan, who listened to the entire hour and a half because he was on this chat board, obviously could have been here. Right?
No, he's at work.
Yeah, but he's not working for these 2 hours. Can't he come in late?
Don't tell Lindsey Breeden. Hopefully his boss Lindsey Breeden is not listening to the show as well.
Oh, Lindsey's listening. Trust me.
Hey, listen, we've got a caller. 410, do you want to win some stuff?
Let's roll it out, Kevin.
Oh, boy. Eric.
How are you?
I'm good. Eric, we know you won before.
Yeah. Does that disqualify me? Is this a Price is Right type deal?
Hey,
man.
No,
nope.
Always bring me back to 1994. I appreciate that.
Well, Geeter can't win it, so someone else has to win it. We'll give you three questions. You get three right. You take home the ball.
Okay.
All right. This will go well with your Misty May ball, right? Isn't that what you have
That's
before?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You'll have both
Correct.
Sides of the equation. Maybe you can sell those after the AVP goes under.
Jeremy Roche wants to fill in that ball. DJJ Roche.
Tell him to call in.
Of all entertainment.
He's got to call in. He's got to answer three questions.
The guy's an unbelievable DJ. He doesn't call in. I mean, he's just like mixing right now. Mixing his beats and getting
all
ready
right.
for his next show.
Eric, here we go. In what state was volleyball invented?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts is correct. One for one. On your way. Question number two. See here. 1994, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. won the Nobel Prize. He was A, the first man to win it. Nice, Kevin. B, the first black man to win it. C, the youngest man to win it. D, the first American to win it.
I'm going to guess the first black man to win it.
The first black man to win it. That's your final answer?
Final answer.
Final answer. That is incorrect. He was the youngest man to win it.
Okay.
All right, Eric. It appears you're going to be happy with your Misty May ball.
Still I'm happy. Good luck to everybody. Geeter, hang in there. All good things will come.
Appreciate that, partner. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Eric.
Hopefully we'll be seeing you guys soon out there.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Eric calling. You can always count on Eric to call in all the time. All right, I'm going to give the callers about one more minute, and then we're out of here. We're going to have to push it to next week. We'll have a Phil and Todd ball for next week. We'll have something else for next week. A Power Balance t-shirt that I have sitting here. Maybe I'll just wear this.
Yeah, it's yours.
Put that in the wardrobe. Put it in the rotation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been another great episode of the Net Live, because it's always a great episode of the Net Live if it's Monday and you're talking about volleyball. We have next week, we have Jim McLaughlin, head coach of Washington.
Let's get Jimmy Mack in here.
He's coming in. He's going to talk about the upcoming season. We still are getting the ABCA College Volleyball Weekly up and running. Actually, Holly McPeak, one of the people who signed up
yep.
for that to update
yep.
us on the Pac-10. We've got several other people lined up to update us on the different conferences across the United States as women's college volleyball gets underway. We're excited about that. The ABC is a great organization to be partnered with. We're also going to have Jason Hodel. Assuming they don't do another push. If there's another push, I suspect we won't see him. But if there is a decision, good or bad, we will have Jason Hodel, CEO or ex-CEO of the AVP, in here to talk about what happened, how it all went down, and why Geeter is now panhandling on the freeway.
If there's a there's another push, I think it's got to be. It's over, right?
Can't have another push
because Manhattan's right around the corner.
Yeah, Manhattan's supposed to be coming. The San Francisco date is already put off to September if it does happen. There's a lot of that stuff going on. Oh, Geeter just under the wire here. 6-6-1.
Ooh.
6-6-1. Unless you're prank calling us, you might have a chance to win something.
What is that, Valencia?
Oh.
It's out in Palmdale.
Ah, I knew it was out there.
Palmdale. All right, who's this?
This is Matthew.
Matthew Gardhoff, right?
No.
Oh, another Matthew, right on. Matthew, are you ready to win?
I'll try. Not very good at the trivia, but they're easier this week, so I'll give it a shot.
All right, here we go. What American sprinter just beat Usain Bolt in a 100-meter race?
Love that. Good question.
Oh, we're losing him.
Can you hear me?
Hello? Now we can hear you. Give us your answer.
I'll guess Tyson Gay.
Tyson Gay is correct.
Good.
One for one, you're on your way. Who was the first U.S. volleyball player to win 3 Olympic gold medals?
Karch Karai.
Karch yeah, Karai is correct. Sir. That was a gimme. We're pushing you along. I like that you got that one. That's good. All right, we're going to have to get a tough one here, Geeter. You looked at the list. We got to get a tough one going on here. All right, this is an outside of volleyball one, but it was
yep.
covered inside of this. Well, it wasn't covered inside of the show. I'm looking at two different questions. What video game is being released tomorrow? Big-time video game being released tomorrow.
I should know.
We
you know,
talked
Phil
about
Dahlhauser
some of this stuff today. What's that?
StarCraft?
Oh, StarCraft? Well, that's a PC game. We're going video game.
Oh, video.
We just talked about the sport that it relates to.
Biggest video game out there.
Biggest video game in the world.
Why is it coming out in August? Think. I know it's tough. When you know it, you're going to be like, I knew that. Check the board.
Oh. Actually, I lost the last part of the broadcast as I was calling in, so I actually didn't hear what you guys were saying. But
Scott,
I can't even think of the video game right now that would be coming out.
It's got a quarterback on the cover.
Then I'll go with Madden.
Madden, that's the correct answer. Ding ding
okay.
ding ding ding. We have a winner. Matt, here's what you got to do. You got to send your address and your phone number and your name to thenetlive@gmail.com. And we'll
okay.
get that process stuff on its way to you. Thanks for calling
okay.
in.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Show. Right on.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, we have one other caller here, 408. You are now in the Net Live. Give us your name, where you're calling from.
This is Ace.
Ace. All right.
I'm going to take a shot.
All right, Ace, listen, we have a Power Balance t-shirt here. We just gave away the ball. We had a win.
Ace,
Hollywood question.
Ace, I loved your jet ride.
Well, thank you. I never got your name.
Geeter.
Hi, Peter. How's it going?
Oh, no, Geeter. Ace,
Peter.
Come on. How
Geeter,
long have you been listening
to
the show?
This
is Geeter.
Come on,
who
kid.
Is Peter, by the way?
There is no Peter.
There is no
it's
Peter.
It's Geeter, dude.
Geeter.
Oh, who is Geeter? Who is he?
Just some hack from the street.
Ace, you're really conflicting with our podcast.
Ace, obviously
here.
You're not that dialed in.
Come on, dude. We know we've got the hookups for the international game, but you got to get the hookups on the Net Live here in the AVP. It's Chris Geeter McGee.
Yeah, you know who the Poland coach is? I mean, come on.
I know he went
well,
away.
I'll try to do some research. I have to add you on Facebook for me to know you better. That's a good way to start.
Nah.
Ace,
no.
come on now. All right, here's your question.
I don't do Facebook.
What New York
Twitter.
Game?
Ask me Hollywood questions. It's got to be Hollywood questions, not like football. I don't know what football is.
This is pretty close. What New York Yankee just passed Babe Ruth on the all-time hits list?
A-Rod.
There you go. A-Rod. No, it says Derek Jeter.
No, it's Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter.
Just passed Babe Ruth.
Ace, right
yeah.
off the bat, you're wrong. That's
Hollywood.
2 weeks. Oh. What do we have? We have to have a bunch of questions
Hollywood,
about Grace Kelly.
What's your dream?
I'm going to miss my chance again winning something. That sucks.
Yeah, you're going to have to call back again next week.
Okay,
hey,
well, then I'll be on the
jet
ride.
We keep sending us a great information about the jet ride. We need that. We need the international volleyball stuff. We like
yeah.
it.
Stay tuned for more next week. There's a lot, you know, after the Grand Prix started, so there's more news to share next week for the volley jet ride, so stay tuned for that.
Okay. All right. Like
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, you guys. Bye.
Wow. What's it with Ace not knowing your name? Come on.
Ace is out, dude.
Peter. What's up, Peter?
I mean, come on, dude.
Ace.
I'm not going to Facebook with Ace.
Ace, you're killing us, dude.
Yeah, Ace is...
Peter, come on.
I don't know how
Peter.
Ace knows that much about international volleyball.
Not know you.
Not know me.
He's got the hookup
for
international volleyball. He's got to get off those pages and get onto the U.S. side.
Yeah, I mean, I actually am okay. It's weird, but this might sound weird. I'm okay with Ace not knowing who I am. Is that okay, Buckus? I'm actually excited about it.
All right, I'll tell you what. It was a great show. Right up to the last 20 minutes.
Probably end it there.
We should just edit it back, say it was another great show, and just shut it down about 20 minutes ago. If you're listening to the podcast, this may be an edited version. Hey, everybody, we appreciate you tuning in. We're going to check out before we really, really sink the show.
Yeah.
Next week, Jason Hodel coming on, Jim McLaughlin, head coach at Washington. It's going to be big. And get in our contest. Get caught in the net at thevolleyballnetwork.com.
Hollywood, what's your dream?
Win something, will you? We're trying to give stuff away here. You people should want it.
Eight, Facebook, butt kiss.
The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. Be good people. See you next week.